name is Queen Rafi. This is Queen Rafi Space, and this is the very first episode of Sister Sit Down. It is a segment that is basically to talk to amazing ladies, Muslim ladies, who are leveraging on the digital space to be themselves, promote their businesses, and also live their lives in an inspiring way, knowingly or unknowingly. And my very first guest is somebody that I have admired for so long via the Instagram social media page. So I'm going to be bringing her on now. Her name is Latifat Bint Mukhtar. I've always loved that name. I don't know why, but I've always liked it. Hello, Latifat.
Hello, salam alaikum. Good afternoon.
Alaikum salam. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for, you know, being the first guest on Sister Sit Down. I'm so excited about that. You are a mom. You are a manager of MT Gas. You also run Bint Mukhtar Garments, where you sell hijabs and modest clothing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. But apart from all of this, what is it about Latifah that most people don't know that you want to share, that you can share with us?
Is there anything people don't know? Let's see. I think I am a very soft person. I would say I'm a very shy person. That's one thing people don't know. But when they see me on camera, like taking pictures or doing adverts about gas or something, they'll be like, oh, I like your strength. You're so big, you're so good. But behind the camera,
wow, I would never have guessed that, because yes, you're a bit outgoing with your pictures, and most people will be like, wow, she must really have a lot of guts to be able to do that.
No.
Do you think that kind of contributes to the fact that you kind of spent a bit of your time, you know, in Canada for school and then a bit of work?
Yes, I went to school, then after I finished, then I got a job, and I worked for like 2 years, before I came back to Nigeria.
Okay, so you feel like that kind of gives you the energy to be able to have your shy and then be open for your business.
Yes, before I left Nigeria, I wasn't exactly like this. But when I go up to Canada, interaction with a lot of people from different countries, different age range and all that, yes, I was able to pick up like more exposure. So I think the exposure is really, really, really good and all that, yeah.
All right, thank you so much for that. All right, let's get a bit into, you know, more of the conversations that we want to have. First off, I know that you're into modest clothing, and I think that was the first thing that caught my attention when I first started to follow you on Instagram. You're always, you know, and it's not just modest clothing, you're always very stylish with them. So I want to ask this question. What is modesty or modest clothing to you? I mean, that's like two questions in one, but I'm sure you can handle it.
Yeah, so modesty to me means shyness, actually. So when it comes to clothes, it means wearing clothes to cover your nakedness, like wearing good clothes that they probably still look good, but big, they are like wide, long, and all that. So that's modesty to me. And a modest person is somebody who doesn't like expose themselves to people. Yeah, so that's modesty to me.
Okay. You are a mom. You manage MT Gas.
Yes.
You do, you know, your garment stuff business.
Yes.
How are you going to describe yourself? Would you say you are a superwoman who is able to have a hang of everything and you do everything all by yourself, or you definitely do delegate?
I won't say I'm a what did you call it?
Superwoman.
No, I won't say I'm a superwoman, but then I love to do things by myself because I don't like to complain. I like to see, I like to know that, okay, yes, I'm doing this, and I want it to come out the exact way that I want it to. So if I give it to somebody else, they will probably not do it the way I want it to be. So I prefer to do things myself. Sometimes I delegate, but even when I delegate, I still join them. Like sometimes when I tell my staff members to do something, I still end up doing like 80% of, because I don't say, you're not doing it. No, that's not what I want. That's not how I do. And I don't like to complain, because so I don't want people seeing me as one manager that is bad.
Like maybe you're nagging and giving them too much to do.
Yes, that kind of thing.
I can relate to that. I can absolutely relate to that. Growing up, I would never let my siblings do stuff because they would not do it the way I wanted. I just do it myself. All right. Okay, that's good. All right, I want to ask this. Being a Muslim, and not just a Muslim, being a Muslim woman, what is that thing that humbles you the most when you just think of the fact that you get to be part of the people who are, you know, Muslims on earth?
One thing that humbles me the most is actually the hijab, because we are not saints, like, we are not perfect. There are some times that you commit a sin, like, in a day, but when I think about the fact that, oh, I probably did this to God today, but then I'm still wearing hijab, so I'm still obeying Allah, and I know, okay, yes, Allah knows I'm not perfect, so He will probably still forgive me, because there are still some things I'm doing that are not right. But then I'm wearing hijab, people are seeing me as a Muslim, that kind of thing. So I think it's the hijab that still makes me humble in front of God, that, oh God, you know, this is actually a lot. So many people are not wearing it, but then I'm still wearing it. So please, if I'm doing some things that are wrong, just forgive me, because I'm wearing hijab, I'm appearing in front of people, I'm portraying myself as a good person to people. So please, God, forgive me. Like, that's just what I do.
Wow, that's very deep, because it's like, I mean, I might be making all of these 10,000 sins, but me consciously wanting to be on the hijab is a constant reminder to you that I still have to be a good representation of Islam.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. And I think that today you were doing a Q&A on your Instagram, and I was like, this is nice. I get to steal a few questions off this play. You mentioned the fact that you went to a very Christian dominated university, and at the time you didn't even know so much about Islam, and you were even, you know, sort of into some Christian activities. Exactly. So when did you get that consciousness, and when did you start to say, you know what, I'm done with every other thing, now is the time to put on the hijab, now is the time to become more conscious Islamically? And I'm asking this because a lot of young people out there struggle with balancing it. They just have the Muslim name, but they're not really, you know, following, and they're like, how do I know when I have to drop every other thing and focus?
I got consciousness when I was in Canada, actually. I think it was my fourth or third year in Canada. Like, I just noticed that my life, like, it wasn't just going the way I wanted. So many bad things were happening, and I was just like, every night I just stay in my bed and I ask myself, what is it I'm doing wrong? And one day I just picked up the Quran and I read one verse that says, I don't know if I can remember right now, one verse, if you are
just paraphrase, it's okay.
Okay, so let me just pass. So there's just something that says that, okay, you have to give to God so that God can actually be on your side. So I'm like, okay, what is it as a Muslim woman? Okay, I call myself a Muslim. What are the things I'm actually supposed to do that I'm not doing? And I just sat down and I'm like, okay, I don't pray. I don't wear the hijab. I listen to music. There's some music that are bad that I listen to. My friends, there's some friends that I shouldn't be working with, that kind of things. I'm like, okay, I think I need to change my life so that God can actually see that, okay, this girl is actually doing some things that I already told them to do. Then God can come into my life and start to bless me and that kind of thing. So that's what I did. And since I started wearing the hijab, everything has been good, alhamdulillah. When I ask God for something, that sometimes that when I want to pray to God, I say, God, you know that, like I already said, you know I do this, so please, God, do this for me, because I do this for you too. God, I'm serving you, so please make me happy. So those are the kind of things I say to God.
In a week,
I just noticed that, oh, I was begging God for those things like 2 weeks ago, and God has already done it for me. So I believe if you slave for God, Allah will actually bless you. So that's
everybody says nothing comes for free, even in free town. So I understand that. And honestly, just listening to you say it, I don't want it to sound like I'm getting so emotional or something, but you almost want to bring tears to my eyes, because we don't understand. It takes a lot to get to that point where you make that conscious decision.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to hear you, you know, talk about it right here on my podcast. So I know that now that you've decided to, you know, be more conscious about being a Muslim, are there still some parts of the deen that you struggle with, or are there some things that you struggled with that you've been able to overcome, and how were you able to overcome them?
Let's see. One thing that I struggled with, one thing that actually struggle right now, let's even talk about right now. So one thing I'm struggling with right now is waking up for tahajjud, because I have a baby right now, and most nights I'm up breastfeeding. There's no time for me to say, oh, I want to do like 2 rakah or 6 rakah or something. So tahajjud, I'm struggling with that one right now. So that might be the only thing, and because every other thing, alhamdulillah, like I've always had it under control. God has done.
All right, that's amazing. And tahajjud takes a lot of dedication. Hopefully, Allah helps you with easing out. As Iman grows older, you're able to handle that much more easily.
Thank you.
How do you recharge your Iman? Because most people will tell you that Iman is not something that, okay, you say today I want to have Iman and you already have it at 100%. It's something that you have to constantly work on. So what are those things that you do to constantly, you know, recharge your Iman, your belief in Allah?
What I do to recharge my Iman is actually sadaqah. Like giving, it might not even be money, it might be clothes. Like when I just notice that, yesterday, I did something bad, or maybe I was very upset with my husband and I said some things that I shouldn't have said. I'm like, oh, God has seen you. I say, astaghfirullah, God, I'm sorry. And I just do something good to anybody next to me. And I just tell God, I've done those good things. Please forgive me for the bad stuff that I did 2 days ago, or the bad thing that I've done today. So I just do good so that Allah can erase the bad. And there's actually one hadith that says, you do good to erase bad, something like that. So that's what I do to recharge my Iman. When I do something that's not good, I just simply give somebody something. Or sometimes I read the Quran. Yeah, that's another thing I do. I just pick up the Quran and I open randomly, like any, and I just allow to lead me to any chapter or any verse. I just pick and I just open and I just read something. Yeah.
Okay, we're almost coming to the end, even though I wish that we could do this for like a whole hour. Well, before we go, a lot of young Muslim ladies are out there, some of them already getting the consciousness of, I need to do more as a Muslim person. I have the conviction that Islam is what I want to do. Some of them still hanging in the balance. What is the advice that you would give?
To young Muslim ladies, the advice I would give them is to make sure that they keep their relationship alive. Like, it's very, very important. If you're wearing hijab, you're praying, you're dressing nice, you're doing good, one more thing you need to do is to not have sex with men that you're not married to. I think people still, when I was doing my dawahs, that's one topic that is very, very, when I talk about it, I guess people will slide into my DM and they'll be like, I don't think I can stop having sex. So my boyfriend will tell me, will leave me for another person. Yeah, let him leave you. Allah will bring somebody who will wait. I always say, Allah will bring somebody that is for you. Allah will bring somebody who will understand. If there's a guy in your life that is telling you that, oh, I'll leave you if you don't want to give me, that means the person does not even love Allah. That means the person does not even respect Allah, because Allah said, do not do it. So if you know that, okay, Allah said this, don't do it, don't worry. Allah will, and you don't want to do it, Allah sees your eyes and you actually don't want to do it before you get married, Allah will bring you somebody. It might be a year, it might be 2 years, the guy will wait for you, and when you're in the marriage, you do what you want to do, and you have your child, and you continue to live your life. So that's just what I would say to young Muslim women.
Thank you so much for that one. Like, so I did not see that one coming, and this is something that a lot of young Muslim ladies, even me here, would probably say I'm guilty of. But when you realize, this is supposed to be an honest conversation, so there's no need to lie. But as soon as you make that conscious decision and you wait till it's halal, I'm not going to lie, the blessings that come with it being halal,
Allah is so merciful that if he sees your intention, like you know you really want to do this,
yes,
don't just know how Allah will bless you. Like, just trust Allah.
And it will come easily to you. This is very, very important. Yeah. Because, you might be praying and doing everything, but that alone will be eroding your blessings. Thank you so much for raising this. And if any, young Muslim ladies listening to this, I'll just say, even if you're already doing it, just take a conscious decision to stop. Whatever you've done, seek for forgiveness. Almighty Allah is always open to, give you that forgiveness and that mercy that you deserve. All right, before we go, I know that you're married. So I'll just say, in one word, how has marriage been?
God has just been helping me. Because I get angry a lot. And since I've been married, I think sometimes when I get angry with my husband, and I'll just go back and say, you shouldn't, you shouldn't be angry. Why are you angry? I don't know, any tiny thing, you're just angry. And I go back to beg my husband, I'm sorry for getting angry. So it has been good, but I'm sure somebody will get angry on very tiny, and that's what I'm working on to make my marriage better. If I stop getting angry, everything will be good.
Okay, that's very honest and very amazing. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for, taking all the time to do this. Hopefully these conversations and your answers would help some young lady out there to be able to make a new decision and be able to get stronger in the religion of Islam. So thankful to you that you gave out your time for me to do this. You can't see me right now, but I'm smiling like ear to ear. Thank you so much for being our first guest. You've been absolutely amazing. And I just hope that Almighty Allah perfects everything that has to do with you, your family, and every other thing that is on your mind that you want to do that is good. Almighty Allah would, answer those prayers for you.
Amen.
Thank you so much. And we've come to the end of Sister Sit Down.
That was how we came to the end of the very first episode of Sister Sit Down with Latifat Bint Mukhtar. If you want to, get more of her or see more of the kind of conversations that she creates online and the amazing mother's clothing that she sells, you can always check her out on Instagram at Latifat_BintMukhtar. You're not going to miss it. Okay, also, if you have any amazing Muslim sister out there you think is really crushing it and you're admiring and you just really want to hear them answer a few questions, real conversations, do send me an email, to queenrafispacepodcast@gmail.com. I'll definitely reach out to them and hopefully we can have them right here on the podcast. It's going to be a monthly episode for now, and I hope that these conversations make a change in whichever way that they're able to. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to share it with your family and friends.